It is a good day to examine an idea that has the potential to fix some big global problems. From Marketplace, I'm David Brancaccio. The White House is warning Congress the president would veto a bill calling for additional background checks for Syrian refugees. That bill was introduced this week following the attacks in Paris. The administration says there are already stringent background checks, and more would just cause unnecessary delays. Marketplace's Kimberly Adams has more.
There's already a rigorous screening process, but David and Sarah at the Heritage Foundation says that's not really the issue.
I think what the concern is that Congress doesn't trust that the administration is doing it properly. I haven't seen any intelligence or any information to prove that there actually are holes in the vetting process.
But, and Sarah says, we don't know enough to be sure because a lot of the process is done in secret. Congress now wants that information. Some members introduced legislation this week that would increase reporting requirements. Greg Chen of the American Immigration Lawyers Association says we don't need those kind of reforms.
Those should really be done in the context of looking at broad, comprehensive reforms to immigration, because the system is so complex that it shouldn't be done on a piecemeal basis.
But Republicans are warning the refugee issue could be a sticking point in the budget deal. The deadline to finalize that is December 11th. In Washington, I'm Kimberly Adams for Marketplace.
Numbers, the 100-share index in London is up 1.3%. The main index in Paris is up 0.9% now. U.S. stock index futures are up in the 0.5% range. Volkswagen officials are meeting today and tomorrow with U.S. air quality regulators, presumably to explain how VW plans to fix their small diesel cars that were rigged to evade emissions testing and put out illegal amounts of pollution. The company was given a deadline of tomorrow to draw up a plan. Nearly a 500,000 VWs and Audi diesel are involved in the U.S., more than 11 million involved worldwide. I think we can agree the news has been grim in the last week, and it seems a sense of hope has been particularly elusive. So we offer this. Tonight, the Buckminster Challenge Prize will be awarded in New York. Buckminster Fuller, visionary and architect, once said, "You never change things by fighting the existing reality. To change something, build a new model that makes the existing model obsolete." The $100,000 award tonight will go to a company called GreenWave, which has figured out how to feed the world and how to help clean up the oceans by moving food production offshore and under the surface. GreenWave's executive director, Bren Smith, used to be an old-school fisherman from Newfoundland who was oystering off New York's Long Island. But then
two storms hit. Hurricane Irene, Hurricane Sandy destroyed my farm two times in a row. So I really had to adapt and reimagine how I'm going to grow for this new era of climate change. What species do I pick and what new technologies do I use?
Mr. Smith joins us now from New Haven, Connecticut, to help us get a better sense of this.
Imagine an underwater garden, right, where we have seaweeds on the surface hanging vertically down next to mussels, scallops. Below that, we have oysters. And there are literally 10,000 edible plants in the sea. We're really hoping with this new farm design to be able to rearrange the seafood plate to move bivalves and plants to the center and wild fish to the edges. But then also the species we pick are restorative. So they soak up nitrogen and carbon. They're carbon neutral. That's our idea to transform fishermen into climate farmers. So there's a whole range of benefits.
Can you do this at scale? What do you know about how big this could be?
So if you were to take a network of our farms totaling the size of Washington State, technically you could feed the world. The beauty about growing under the water is that we don't have to fight gravity. So we can build very simple structures and produce just incredible volumes. We can grow about 30 tons of just kelp in 5 months per acre, easily 250,000 shellfish per acre. The other thing I'd say is, as we were designing these, we wanted them to have very sort of shallow or small footprints. So anybody can boat over our farms, fish, swim, because everything's below the surface. And that's important because we don't want to interrupt the commons. We want to keep our oceans good, pristine, beautiful places. And so we designed our farms to really work within that vision.
When you scale up something, how do you start thinking about ways that even your system, well intended, might somehow do damage? You sort of have to think about some of the stuff in advance.
I'll say that some of the challenges that we're concerned about is the privatization of our seas. If people are coming in, buying up thousands and thousands of acres, creating gigantic sort of Iowa pig farms or banana plantations at sea, that's just recreating the problems we've seen before. That's why our lease structures are very carefully structured. I hope the food movement, areas in government, can all get together and begin this process of ocean planning.
I mean, here's the thing, though. I mean, is it going to taste any good, or are we going to be suffering through a food supply that's sustainable but kind of icky?
Here's a couple examples of what we cook and what is selling out in the restaurants in New York City. One of my good partners just made a kelp noodle barbecue parsnip dish with breadcrumbs. And that's just delicious, right? And we really move it out of thinking about fish and the spices that usually go with seafood, really into thinking about this as a vegetable.
Bren Smith is the executive director of Green Wave and winner of the 2015 Fuller Challenge. Mr. Smith, again, congratulations.
Thank you so much.
Consult Marketplace Online for a director's cut of that interview that includes why feeding cattle seaweed could also help with climate change. There's also a visual on what undersea kelp farming with oysters and clams and more looks like. Marketplace.org. From studios at Montclair State University today, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
Hey there, I'm Bridget, co-host of Million Bazillion, Marketplace's podcast for kids about money. I want to tell you about our email newsletter course, Million Bazillion Academy. In this new and improved course, we'll help your kids learn about crypto, credit cards, and inflation in just 6 weeks. Each lesson comes with a podcast episode, a fun cartoon, discussion questions, and an activity that lets kids apply what they're learning in the real world. You can start at any time and work at your own pace. Sign up today at marketplace.org/academy.